Good evening. We're in the perfect time of the year where I can't see any of you because the sun blinds me. God's awesome. It's a beautiful day out. Hopefully you got to enjoy some of it before you came. I got to just work with Luke today, and he was a blessing to me, and he helped me. I know some of you know that he did most of the work and I supervised. But he was a blessing, so thank you, Luke, for that and your maple syrup. Church, God's faithful. If there's one thing that this church should know, is that God is faithful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Church, we sang that. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because he is faithful. He is beyond faithful to this church. I want to read a few verses just to maybe encourage us a little bit in the house this evening, because it might be a little hard of a message this evening, but listen to me. Psalms 33:4 says, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness." 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Psalms 119:90, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast." 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And Lamentations 3:22 and 23 say this, church, listen closely. "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Church, great is his faithfulness. To this church and to us, to the children of God, he is beyond faithful, church. He continues to be beyond faithful. He is the author. He's not just, listen to me closely, church, he is not just an energy. He's not just a force. He's a personal God who wants a relationship with you. A loving relationship with you. But there are many people in the world today, Christians and non-believers today, saying, "I don't want to live in relationship with God. I don't want to have a relationship with God. I don't want it. I want the blessings of God. I want his forgiveness and his love and his mercy, but I don't want to be committed to God. I don't want to have the commitment or the responsibility of being faithful to God." But he's beyond faithful with us. Beyond faithful with us. But I want us to think about for just a minute. Are you saying you just want to do your own thing? Are you saying you just want to do your own thing? Jesus Christ died upon a cross for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen, church. Amen. Everlasting life. Do you just want to do your own thing? I want to talk about a scary word. We'll go here. I want to talk about a scary word that the church tends to shy away from, and that's the word adultery. It's a scary word. Why? Because adultery is a serious thing. There are many people affected by adultery in this world. But I want to go even deeper today about this word, adultery. But I want us to ask ourselves this question. And we have to ask ourselves this question this evening. Am I faithful to God? If God is beyond faithful with me, He continues to pour out his blessings to me. He's beyond faithful. Am I being faithful to God? Am I being faithful to God? Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. What is adultery? What's adultery? Most people would say it's having sexual relations with somebody other than your spouse, right? I think we could all say that's definitely adultery. But see, Jesus turns it up a notch. And he says, "You heard, do not commit adultery. But I say anyone who lusts after a woman has already committed adultery in their heart. Jesus turns up the knob. He says, even if you lust after somebody, somebody other than your wife, you've committed adultery. I'll put it like this too. Maybe it's something we can understand. The worship of somebody else other than your spouse is adultery. Adultery is a serious thing. I believe it's the 7th commandment. Out of the 10 commandments, do not commit adultery. Don't do it. Don't commit adultery. And listen to me. Adultery has a serious offense attached to it. A punishment attached to it. It's death. You could be stoned. Man, female, can be stoned for committing adultery. It's not a joke. Adultery is not a joke. Let's give a little bit of context to Jeremiah. I hope we learned some things today. Hope we learned just a little bit more about Jeremiah and the things going on. See, the context is that there's these two kingdoms. You have the northern kingdom, that's Israel, and you have the southern kingdom, and that's Judah. And we're going to see both of those in this story. We're going to see both, but there's something important we must understand today, church, that they both were wrong in the eyes of God. They both pursued gods other than the one true living God. They pursued after false gods, gods made of wood and stone, things that would waste away. They would continue to pursue after them. Verse 1 here, let's look here. If a man divorces his wife and she leaves him and marries another man, should he return to her again? Would not the land be completely defiled? But you have lived as a prostitute with many lovers. Would you now return to me, declares the Lord. Well, what is the Lord talking about here? See, what the law stated, that if a woman were to get divorced, they weren't allowed to go back to their first marriage. If she were to marry another man, she wasn't allowed to go back. And God is saying here to Judah, because Jeremiah is preaching to the southern kingdom, he's saying, you have went after false gods, you've went after many lovers, you've went after sin, beyond sin, beyond sin. Why would I take you back? Why would I take you back? If the law says not to go back, why would I have mercy and have you return to me? He says, declares the Lord. Declares the Lord. This is important for us to understand this message today, that God has every reason not to take Judah back. He has every reason not to take Israel back. And listen to me close, church. He has every reason not to take you and I back. Because of sin in our life. Sin in our life. Verse 6. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. See, this is important. This is a hard piece here, church. God is telling Israel, you've committed adultery against me. You've committed adultery against me. You've went up on the hill. You've went under every spreading tree. You've went everywhere but me. Everywhere but God. And you've committed adultery there. And this is important. See, God is painting a picture for us of his relationship with Israel. God is a personal God. He cares much for us. He cares much for Israel. He cares much for Judah here. And this is important to understand. They've committed adultery, and their relationship is intimate. God wants an intimate relationship with you and I, just like the intimate relationship here with Israel and Judah. Verse 7, I thought that after she had done all this, she would return to me, but she did not, and her unfaithful sister, Judah, saw it. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister, Judah, had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. See, this is important to understand, church. He says in verse 7, I thought that after she had done all of this, that she would come back. I wonder how many women have said that about their men. After they've had their thrill, they'll come back. Church, this is a hard message. After they had their taste, they'll come back. But they didn't. They didn't come back. Israel didn't come back right here. And then in verse 8, he says, I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of her idolatries. What is he saying there? See, at this time that Jeremiah is preaching, Israel is under captivity from the Assyrians. God disciplined Israel here. And this is important to understand, church. Sometimes we can think, God, man, that is so harsh. He waited many, many years. Much more than we would wait for our spouse to come back. Many, many years he waited for Israel to come back. And they didn't. So he had the Assyrians overtake them. And yet he says, yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. So now you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom all doing the same thing, committing adultery against God. The one true God, church, the one true God. See, Judah saw all of it and didn't care. Judah saw the punishment, the discipline, and Judah said, I don't care. I'm going to commit adultery anyways. See, listen to me close, church. There are many, many spouses today know the ramifications of what's going to happen when they commit adultery, but they don't care. They do it anyways. And listen to me, church. Let's apply this to our life for a minute. Are we not the same sometimes? We know the devastation of sin. We know how bad the devastation that's going to happen when I sin, but yet we do it anyways. This is a hard thing, church. Adultery is not a joke. And sometimes we think, well, I'm good with my spouse. But listen to me. Again, I'll ask you this question. I hope it's reflected. Are you being faithful to God? Are you being faithful to your first love, Jesus Christ? Are you being faithful? See, Judah didn't care. And this is important to understand also, church, that God's discipline is not arbitrary. He's not some man with a magnifying glass saying, oh, yeah, I got that one. Yeah, I got that one. Why does God discipline us? Why would he discipline Israel? Why would he discipline us? His discipline is intended to bring us back. When we do wrong and God's discipline, the whooping comes, why would he do that? He doesn't do it because he enjoys it. He does it to bring us back. Wow, does he love us. That we would commit spiritual adultery to God. And he still tries to bring us back. He still tries to pull us back. This is important. God always is trying to pull you back. Every time you sin, don't think God said, I'm done with you. He's always giving you the option to come back. And sometimes his discipline comes, and sometimes it hurts, sometimes it's hard. And listen to me, sometimes that discipline leaks far out to the people we love. Can I tell you that when a man or a woman commits adultery, the whole family is affected. The whole family is affected, not just the two. If they have kids, there's kids affected. It's not a joke, church. Adultery is not a joke. And God says, here's my relationship with Israel. I love them. I care for them. But yet they tend and they flirt with other gods. They go after other gods. It says they have many lovers. Many lovers. And we expect God to take us back. We sin and we sin and we sin and we sin and we sin. And we expect God to take us back. We expect God to take us back. Verse 9. Because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all of her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord. The Lord said to me, faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Well, what is he talking about there? He's saying, well, Israel is just out in the open. They do not care if they're sinning. They don't care if they're going after other gods. But see, what Judah was doing was saying, we'll sacrifice, we'll give to God, we'll do things for God, but we have not given our hearts to God. We have not given our hearts to God. See, Israel worshiped created things rather than the Creator. And there's many times we do the same thing, church. We do the same thing. We run after wealth. We run after all these types of things, our careers, all these things. And we forget about God, our first love. Our first love, and we forget about God who cares for you, who died for you, who wants a relationship with you, a loving relationship, an intimate relationship, but we say, I will rather sin than be faithful to God. Again, church, I'll say, it's a hard message. They worshiped created things, false gods, and these gods were not good. They were no gods at all, but these gods were not good. And I don't want to get too graphic, church, but they worshiped a God where they sacrificed their babies. They weren't good. And God says, they should return to me. And they should return to me. They worship created things. Things that waste away. That don't last forever. Momentary things. Instead of the one who's created all things. Who's eternal. Who loves us so much. Who sent his son to die on the cross for us. Loves us so much. See, Judah just went through the motions. Just through the motions. Do we not do that, church? Are there not people that do that same thing today? Listen to me, church. You can be coming to church your whole life, but your heart might not be right. We see that here in this piece. You can be doing a lot of good things in your life. You can be helping the poor. You can be going to the ministries, all those different types of things. But if your heart is not right, it is not right. And Judah's heart is not right. They still went after other gods, but they said, we want a little piece of God. We want a little piece of the world. We want a little piece of God. We want a little piece of the world. And there's many people doing that same thing today. I want all the world and I want all of God. And the Bible says we cannot serve two masters. We'll love one and we'll hate the other. And listen to me, most of the time, the world wins over God. Don't trust the world to fix your problems. Don't trust the world to satisfy you, to bring you joy, because it will never happen. It only leads to destruction. It will never happen. Only God can provide those things. Our loving, amazing, awesome God who blesses us beyond measure. Listen to me. Our hearts many times are wrong, but God is still trying to pull us back, pull us closer to Him. Well, how do we commit adultery towards God? How do we commit adultery towards God? Well, James chapter 4 says a little bit about it. I just want to read it. James chapter 4 verse 4 says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scriptures say without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you." Amen, church. How do we commit adultery towards God? We become friends with the world. That's what James says. When you begin to say, I like the world so much, that you begin to walk away from God, you become adulterous people. We become adulterous people. When we cling to the world so tightly that there's no room for God, we cling to the world so tightly that we say, God, I'll do it without you. I'll do it without you. And listen to me, how do we commit adultery towards God? We sin. We sin. We go after worldly things. We go after things that we want, we desire. And listen to me, there's a lot of good things in the world, a lot of things you can do for the Lord. But there are many things that are horrible, that are sinful. And we have Christians today, and this is who I'm speaking to today. We have Christians today playing with it. We have Christians today playing with witchcraft. We have Christians today going to mediums for answers. We have Christians today saying, Jesus is just one way to heaven. And we say that in the face of God who loves us, who cared for us, who died for us. Again, I'll have to say, this is a hard message, church. Sin makes us adulterous people. What does sin say? God, my way's better. God, I know you said not to do this. I know you said not to do that. But God, sorry to tell you, my way's better. Not realizing that God knows way more than we do. God understands way more than we do. Our way isn't even close to his ways. We don't even understand even a little piece of what sin can actually do in our life. The devastation it actually brings. And another way that we commit adultery, church, is we continue just to rely on ourselves. Having no faith that God will help us, that God will care for us, telling God, I got this on my own. You can't do it on your own. You have to have Jesus Christ in your life. He's the one who says, I give life more abundantly. But listen to me, the world, Satan, the prince of the air, comes only to kill, steal, and destroy your life. Please understand that, church. That whisper in your ear saying, just dabble in it just a little bit. Just go mess with that just a little bit. That is not from God. That is from the evil one. That is from Satan. Trying to lead you down the wrong path. Trying to make you where you're not faithful to God. That you've committed sin. That your relationship is hurt. And church, I could end it right there. But I want to know and I want to share with you that that's not the end of the story. We are all adulterous people. At one time in our life, we've all been adulterous people towards God. You can be faithful to people all you want. But listen to me. The word says, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all been adulterous people. We've all said, God, I'll do it my own way. God, you're not enough. We've all said those types of things. And listen to me, that's not the whole story here. We're not just gone. We're not just without any hope. Listen to me, church. There is living hope in Jesus Christ. There is no one too far gone for Jesus Christ to save them. There is no one too far gone for God to reach down in the pit and lift them up. And listen to me, if you've actually committed adultery, not spiritual adultery, but physical adultery, can I tell you, Jesus can still redeem you from the pit. He can still lift you up and save your life. Because he saves all sin, church. He saves us from all sin, and he washes it as white as snow. He casts it as far as the east is from the west. Listen to me, church. Our hearts may be wrong, but listen to me. Jesus Christ loved us so much that he went to the cross to die for us. And this is important for us to understand. This is beautiful here. Go to verse 12 in Jeremiah. He says, go and proclaim this message towards the north. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. And that you have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree and have not obeyed me, declares the Lord. Listen to me, church. God is faithful. Listen to what it says. Return, faithless Israel. Return, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer. For I am faithful. For I am faithful. I say it many times, and I think it is true. Granted, we can be disciplined at times because of our unfaithfulness, but God remains faithful. God remains faithful even when we are not faithful. Why? Because the word says he cannot deny himself in Timothy. He cannot deny himself. He is always faithful, church. He is always faithful, even when I am unfaithful. And this is important to understand. We like to shy away from it in church, at least the modern church. Repentance, church. Repentance. It's all about repentance, church. What does he say? He says, only acknowledge your guilt that you have rebelled against the Lord your God. Acknowledge it. And this is an amazing piece, church. Listen to me closely, please. The word says, confess your sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins and cleanse you of all of your unrighteousness. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. Isn't that beautiful, church, that we have sinned so deeply, we've committed adultery towards God, but he says, if you confess your sins, if you repent, I am faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins and cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. And listen to me, the world cannot give that to you. The world cannot forgive the wrongs that you've done. The world cannot help you with salvation, let you enter heaven. But the word says that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Trust in him. He loves you so deeply, church. He loves you so deeply. God is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. And listen to me when I tell you, God, there is no one that forgives like God forgives. There is no one who can forgive like God forgives. We remember so many wrongs that are happened in our life. We're human. We do those things. But God is able to cast them as far as the east is from the west and never hold it against you. See, when you stand before God and you have Jesus Christ, your sins are washed away. Are washed away. They aren't held against you anymore. Because of Jesus, we're proven not guilty. Not guilty. But without Jesus Christ, listen to me closely, you are guilty. We all are guilty without Jesus Christ. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, he has poured it out on the whole world. And all you have to do is repent and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you will be saved, found, not guilty. Not guilty. I want to read this verse 14. This is beautiful. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. Wow, what a statement to Israel. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. That is beautiful, church. That is beyond beautiful. I want you to think about the church. What are we called? What's another name for the church? The bride of Christ. What's another name for the church? The bride of Christ. And who is Jesus? He is our bridegroom. He is the groom. He is the groom. God wants a relationship with us. An intimate relationship. A relationship that's a commitment between you and God and no other gods. No other lovers. God wants you. Did you hear me, church? God wants you. And this is important. And when we start to realize how God views our relationship, that he wants a relationship with us. You ever heard that God is a jealous God? When you understand this, you understand the jealousy of God. Well, how can God be jealous? I want you to picture something. I told my wife she's not going to like this, because I was going to use her in a bad way. If my wife went with other lovers, would I not have the right to be jealous? If she's committed to me, we're married before God, and she goes after other lovers, and do I not have the right to be jealous? A righteous jealousy that God has with us because he's made us. And listen to me, when you accept Jesus Christ, you enter a commitment with God. And he wants you. And when you say, God, I want other things. I want to be with this person or that thing or that thing. God is jealous because he wants you. And this is why when I read in James, when you draw near to God, he draws near to you. He says, return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. But then in verse 20 it says, but like a woman unfaithful to her husband, so Israel has been unfaithful to me, declares the Lord. How do we return to God? How do we return to God? If we're so far gone, if we've committed too many sins, how do we return to God? If God's telling us to return, because he is our husband, listen to me, church. I'm going to make it simple. Jesus Christ. You want to return to God? Maybe you're a believer today, but you've done so many evil things. Can I tell you, God is saying, return to me. Return. Return. Return to Jesus. And repentance. Repent. We might not like that word, but listen to me. It's scattered throughout the Bible. It's an important thing. Repentance. Well, what is repentance? How do we repent? Turning from our evil way and turning towards God. You want to repent? God calls us to repent. He's saying, return from your evil ways. Return from your spiritual adultery. And turn towards me. Turn towards God. Well, why? Because it's, the word says that he loves us, that he cares for us. And how do we know that? Because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I've repeated that verse so many times because I want us to never forget it. That even when we are committing adultery towards God, Jesus still died for us. Jesus still died for us. And he's died for the whole world. I don't know where you might be, church. I don't know where some of you might be. But listen to me when I tell you, church. He has made the way. We sang the song Almost Home. I love that song. But you can only experience almost home with Jesus Christ. You can only experience going to heaven being with God. That's what it's all about. Being with God through Jesus Christ. That name will never not be preached in this church. Because it's the solution to the horrible problem of this world. The chaos of sin. Adultery. Sexual immorality. Gossip. Lying. And the above. Paul says, and the like. Jesus Christ is a solution for all of that. All of it, church. All of it. Where are you at in your life? Do you even care? Do you care that Jesus died for you? Do you care that he says he loves you? And he wants to give you a right relationship with God? God says that. Jesus Christ says that. That when you trust in Jesus, your relationship is restored with God. And he intercedes for us at the right hand of God. That's an amazing thing, church. That not only does he save us, but he intercedes for you and I at the right hand of God. The right hand of the Father. If you say Jesus Christ doesn't love me, then you've missed the word of God. You've missed the awesome, amazing word of God. Jesus beyond loves us, beyond cares for us. And listen to me, church, I want to share this story with you. Just before I close out here, it's a little bit shorter, but this is an amazing piece. We're talking about adultery, and I want to look at this. John chapter 8, starting in verse 2, it says, at dawn he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. And the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say? They were using this question to trap in order to have the basis of accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let any of you who are without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now, leave your life of sin. Grace and mercy, church. grace and mercy is handed to all of us. It is offered to all of us. Grace and mercy. Listen to me. The Word of God says that the Son did not come in to condemn the world, but save the world through Him. It's all about Jesus Christ, church. It's all about Jesus Christ. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Why would God take back the Israelites? Why would He take back Judah? And why would He take back us? Because He abounds in grace and He abounds in mercy. Amen, church. He abounds in grace and He abounds in mercy. And listen to me closely, church. There are many Christians committing spiritual adultery in the world today. And they're running. Listen to me. They're running from the love of God that has been poured out to them. Running from the love of God that has been poured out on the cross through Jesus Christ. His wounds, His blood, all those things have been poured out. Why? So that we might enter a relationship with God. We might have a right relationship with God. He so graciously poured it out for us. So graciously He poured it out for us. And I'll ask you, where are you today, church? Are you living unfaithful lives? Are you living an unfaithful life to God? Are you committing sins and you're saying, God, I do not care what Your Word says. I do not care what You say. I desire it too much. I care about it too much. I care about the world so much. I'm not willing to listen to the One who died for me. Again, church, I'll say it again. It's not an easy message. Are you living an unfaithful life? Well, listen, I'll say it again. There is hope. A blessed hope, a living hope, a hope that is only found in Jesus Christ for all who would repent and turn to the bridegroom of Jesus Christ. Return to Jesus Christ. Phil Fisher did a message not too long ago about the banquet, the wedding banquet. Are you going to be a part of it, church? Are you going to be a part of it? Because you can fool yourselves, listen to me closely, you can fool yourself in thinking because I come to church every single Sunday, I'm good with God. But listen to me, that's not how you get good with God. You only get good with God with Jesus. You only get good with God with Jesus. And we all need to get good with God with Jesus. Amen, church. Let's be excited here at the end. I know it's been a hard message, but let's be fired up for just a minute about the love of God in your life. His faithfulness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord that He would save a sinner like me and a sinner like you. We might have committed some sins. We might have committed a lot of evil things in our life. But listen to me when I tell you today, church, Jesus is calling you to salvation. If you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus is calling you today. He's calling you today to have a relationship with Him. And the only way that you can do that is believe in Jesus Christ. Turn from your sinful life and turn to the One who laid down His. Turn to the One who died for you, who cared for you. Even when He didn't want to go, even when He prays, God, let this cup pass, even when He's on the cross. And this is something that's just been sticking with me for the last couple weeks. I don't know why. It's just something that God's been laying on my heart. And He looks down and He prays to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's love, church. You ever want to share, if someone asks you what is love, you better be sharing the story of Jesus Christ. Because that is love. That He would pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's stand, church. I know this hasn't been an easy message. I hope maybe you learned something a little bit, maybe about Israel and Judah, about Jeremiah. But I hope that you've reflected on your life this evening.